And what Max asked us to come and share with you guys tonight is just kind of a testimony of you know, what's happening beyond the BSU, life after the BSU, and what are we doing with some of the things that we heard when we were sitting in these seats. So this evening we're going to share some stories with you. We'll share a few humorous things that happened to us when we were here, and we want to share some serious things that happened to us while we were here. But before we get started, before we get too far into it, I need to see some hands. I need a volunteer from the audience. I need to see who in this room is a math major. All right?
We got a couple.
See a few hands. Okay. I've got a pretty complicated problem tonight, so I need upper-class math majors. Is there any? Okay. All right. Well, I need an upper-class math major who's sitting close to the front. So we'll use you. Will you come up here and help us tonight? Tell me your name. It's Betty? You said? Okay, Betty. I have a project for you, and you can go to work over here, and we're going to go ahead and talk about other things. See this apple here? I want you to take this apple, Betty, and you're not a pre-med major, too, are you? Okay, well, here's a knife anyway. Go ahead and take that apple and start cutting it up, and I want you to count how many seeds are in that apple for me. Will you do that while we're working on something else over here? Okay, go ahead and start cutting that up.
She's very excited.
And tell us how many seeds are in that apple. Well, she's doing that. Go ahead. It's not a trick apple, Betty. Go ahead, dig in. Okay, while she's doing that, we just want to tell you a few other things that happened to us while we were here. Do you guys still do Seeker Saints?
Yeah.
Do you?
I just did it.
Yeah, the guys go, ooh, yeah, we do Seeker Saints.
They like those cookies delivered by the door, yeah.
Let me tell you a story. When I was a freshman here at OU, and February came around and it was time for Seeker Saints, man, I got the draw, and I got the most gorgeous freshman girl. You notice I said freshman girl, because Vicky is older than I am, and she wasn't a freshman at that time. Got the most gorgeous freshman girl as my Seeker Saint, and I was kind of known as being the quiet, shy type, and so this was a pretty big deal for me. So, you know, through the week progressed, and one evening, it had to be late one evening, some of my so-called friends,
very spiritual BSU buddies,
we were making our run, you know, going to deliver our Seeker Saint treats for the night. I had some candy and I had a card. I just didn't know what to write on that card. And we were busy, and we were probably going to get a pizza or something, so we were in a hurry. So I didn't take any time, and right as we were running out, I said, guys, give me a scripture reference to put on my card so that I can take it to the Seeker Saint, because I wanted to come across spiritual.
Y'all know so, right where he's going.
So yeah. I wrote it down, signed my name, ran out, left it, gave it to this gorgeous girl. And you know, we went on and did our thing. Well, it wasn't later till that night when I got back to my dorm room and I got out my Bible and I pulled up the reference that my spiritual friends gave me. And this is what it said. It said, your stature is that of a palm and your breasts like the clusters of fruit. I said I will climb the tree and I will take hold of the fruit. So, yeah.
Would have to know how shy and how quiet Brian was at this time to truly appreciate the really twisted humor in this story.
That's a true story, and I would love to tell you the guy's names because I still want revenge, but I won't do that.
He's now a missionary in Africa. The guy who gave him that verse. Does God have a sense of humor or what?
So obviously later that night, I'm in my dorm room writing an apology letter to take to my Seeker Saint. And I don't think for the remaining 3.5 years of college here that I ever was able to look that girl in the eye for the rest of the time. But I have lots of memories of Seeker Saints. In fact, Vicky's got one.
Absolutely. The first thing I think that ever God kind of used to hook us together was Seeker Saints. And the following year, when I was a junior, Brian was a sophomore, I drew his name. Now, he has always said that I rigged the ballot and that I rigged it to where I would get him. He wasn't that good of a catch, really. Actually, it was a great catch, but I didn't rig the ballot. I just drew his name. And so I did not rig that. But a month later, when it was time to go to the Glen, now I did happen to mention to my friend Amy Trimble, who was pairing up girls and guys to lead small prayer groups, that if by chance Brian Banks and I ended up in the same group, that was fine with me. I really didn't have any trouble with that whatsoever. Now, I wouldn't really call that rigging, would you all? No, no. You know, maybe just helping out just a smidge. Anyway, Brian and I did get to spend some time together at the Glen that year, and when we got off the bus that first morning to go skiing, Brian was very quiet, very shy, and totally uncharacteristic. He walked over and said, "Hey, Vicki, would you like to meet later on for lunch and maybe do some skiing afterwards?" Well, I had wanted him to ask me out for a solid year, so I am trying to be so cool. And I'm like, "Sure, yeah, I think I can do that. Yeah, that'd be fun." And very calmly turned around to pick up the sack lunch on the ground. They had brought us all sack lunches. They had laid it on the ground. And so Brian is still sitting there. I bent over to get my lunch and ripped out the entire tail end of my ski pants. This is totally true. Well, as you know, when you go skiing from the Glen, you're hours away from the castle, so they don't just run you back to, you know, put on a new pair of bibs. That's not the way it works there. Well, there was another guy who had an extra windbreaker. I tied it around my waist, and that was it. We had to make the best of it. So later on that day when we met for lunch and went snow skiing, we're going through these little trails in the trees, and I'm trying to be a hot dog. And so I'm in front of him, and we come to a drop-off. I see the drop-off, so I make it just fine. Well, I'm not that tall, but Brian couldn't see over me, and so he totally wiped out. But not only did he wipe out, you're not going to believe this, but he ripped out the entire crotch of his ski pants. And he had on red long johns. I never forgot it. To this day, I could still see the horrified look on his face. So we have had some of our most embarrassing moments here at this place at the BSU, but we do love the BSU. And we do want to share more than just fun stories of, you know, humiliating things that happened to us while we were here. What we'd like to do tonight is share with you five of the seeds that we feel like God planted in our lives while we were here at the BSU. The top five seeds we feel God planted in our lives. And the first one I get to share with you about, and it has to do with learning how to have a daily quiet time, how to read the Bible and apply it to our own lives. Now, this was huge for me because I did not grow up in a family that attended church. As a matter of fact, for basically my whole life, I've been the only member of my family that has attended church. You know, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, kind of like the Lone Ranger Christian, a white sheep and just a real nice family that doesn't happen to be interested in church. So I've never seen anybody read their Bible on a daily basis. Now, I went to church camp with a friend when I was 14, and the pastor said you ought to read the Bible every day. I'm a pretty good firstborn girl, so I did what I was told. And I can remember night after night opening it up and not understanding a thing that I read, reading a couple verses, closing it, and going back to bed. And it wasn't until I came to college and got involved in the BSU that I was taught for the first time how to really read and study the Bible on my own and apply it to my life. And I remember them sharing an acrostic with us called SPACY. I don't know if any of you all have heard this, but if you take each letter of that acrostic, there's a particular question you can ask yourself to apply the Bible to your life. Is there a sin to confess, a promise to claim, an attitude to change, a command to obey, an error to avoid, or an example to follow? And for some reason, just having those questions in front of me totally made the Bible come alive. It was like going from a black and white world to full living color. It was very life-changing for me. So I'm very grateful for that seed. Another thing that happened along with learning how to have a quiet time is we were taught to come to God with the spirit of expectancy. And one of the things that they taught us here at the BSU that meant was coming to God with pencil and paper in hand, trusting that He had something so important to tell us that it was worth writing down. So that's when I began to journal. And I would pick out one verse from my daily Bible reading. I'd write it at the top of the page. And then I'd write how I felt like God wanted me to apply it to my life. Well, I've been journaling ever since, and I now have a fireproof safe in my house with 15 journals. There's no stock certificates, fancy jewelry, nothing else, but there's a bunch of journals that were blank before my pen got a hold of them. Well, a couple of years ago, when I had my first pieces published, I've now had stories published in about 6 books, and like Aaron said, I've just had my very first book actually comes on the shelves here in May. Where do you think the ideas for all those stories came from? They all came from my journals. They came right here. Well, I certainly didn't know when I was a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior here at OU that that was part of what God wanted to do with that. I had no idea. So how did having a daily quiet time, how has that influenced our life today? Well, Brian and I both believe that it was absolutely foundational to having a real personal, intimate walk with God today, as well as it's also helped us to help other people have that same kind of an intimate walk with Him. So that's the first seed that we feel like that we're very grateful because God planted in our lives here at the BSU.
Okay, before we go any further, we need to get the results of Betty's tabulation over here. Betty, how many seeds did you find in that apple? 9. Okay. We found 9 seeds. 9 seeds in the apple. Okay, we're going to get back to that. All right, the second seed that we feel like was critically important that was planted in my life specifically while I was sitting in the same chair as you guys are sitting in was the seed of accountability and mentoring. I kind of keep those two kind of synonymous with one another. The importance of accountability and mentoring. You know, without a doubt, I think that has had one of the most dramatic impacts on my life. Because it was when I was here that relationships started that are still going on today in that area of my life. In fact, let me share a couple of passages from you, from the Word to you. In Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Mm-hmm. I believe that with all my heart, that men need men to sharpen each other, to help each other. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, "But you encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And I've heard it compared. I've heard a man's life before compared to a winding, sometimes dark mountain road. You know, I love the mountains. I love to go to Colorado. We were talking about it actually at dinner. One of my things to do on my list, the top 10 things to do, is to ride, you know, a gold wing through the Rocky Mountains. I just think that would be cool. So I'm planning on doing that someday. But on those windy mountain roads, and especially when it's dark, that's kind of what life is like sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're going around the curves and you don't really know what's around the next curve. You can't see ahead of you. And there's a big cliff over here on the side. Mm-hmm. And you know, accountability and mentors in my life, I think, are the guardrails along that road. They're the guardrails that keep me from driving off the edge on accident. Mm-hmm. I never intend to, but I'm in danger of driving off the edge and falling off the edge of that mountain if I don't have men in my life that protect me and keep me in check, that know what my priorities are and know where, you know, where I'm headed in life and know that my relationship with God and know that my relationship with my wife and my kids is important. They can help me keep those things in check. In fact, it was one of the most significant accountability or mentoring relationships in my life was a speaker that spoke several times here at the BSU. In fact, you guys have probably heard him, Ken Humphreys. Have you guys heard Ken Humphreys here before? Ken Humphreys spoke when I was a freshman or sophomore here, and I was so enthralled by what he had to say because he was talking about, and he was passionate about two things. He was passionate about business. He's a businessman, as he'll probably told you guys, just an Afro-Sheen salesman from Oklahoma City. He's a businessman, a very successful businessman in Oklahoma City. But his second passion, or his other passion, not second to that in priority, but his other passion is ministry. And for the first time I heard somebody tell me that the two aren't mutually exclusive, that the two can go together. And my business and my ministry happen at the same time. And you know, I always feared God was going to call me to the mission field somewhere. And that's not what I had on my heart. And I never wanted to do that. I always wanted to be in business. And it was then that God told me, hey, there's a mission field right there, right where you're working. And there's people's lives that you can impact right where you are every day, 8 to 5. Well, it was after Kent spoke to us, I did something really uncharacteristic. I called him as a student here and said, Kent, I want to know more about what you had to say. And I went to Oklahoma City and had lunch with him one day and just started picking his brain and started learning from him. Well, that was, like I said, almost 18 years ago probably. And every year or so, I would call him up and we would go have lunch and I would learn more and I would learn more. Until about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, I called him up and I said, in fact, I just read a book. I handed him a copy of this book. It's called As Iron Sharpens Iron by Howard Hendricks, a great book on mentoring. Handed him that book and said, Kent, I need a mentor in my life, and there's a lot of things in your life that I would like to learn.
Did you hear about this when he was here? They're all nodding their head. They know
about
you.
Are you kidding me? Oh, man. Well,
I wonder what all he said about you.
Yeah. Anyway, so he agreed to mentor me, and for the last 3 years, we have a very close relationship, and you cannot imagine some of the impacts that it's had in our life as a couple, actually. In fact, it was kind of the launching pad for Vicki's writing in a lot of ways, and kind of helped propel her to doing some of the things that she's doing today. And it certainly had an impact on my life. So it was from a seed that was planted here of the importance, how important that is, that is still happening in my life today. And it just happens to be with somebody that I met while I was here. And I tried to replicate that in my life by not just being mentored by somebody, but to find guys that I can pass that on to, that I can mentor. You know, for several years we've met for breakfast with a guy, and we meet and we talk about these things, what's important in life, and how do we keep each other between the guardrails to keep from falling off. It's a huge seed that was planted in my life while I was here at the BSU.
A third seed that we feel like God planted in our lives here at the BSU is teaching us how to lead small group Bible studies and how to ask good questions. I very, very specifically remember sitting in this exact room during a ministry team meeting, and Carolyn Teague, who was on staff at that time, taught us how to ask good questions. So if you've ever been around Carolyn, you know Barbara Walters has nothing on that woman, because she can nail you to the wall with one of her questions. As a matter of fact, when she would come, Brian would go hide. He was afraid of what she might ask you. But she can ask some very penetrative questions. And I remember her teaching us how to ask questions that people couldn't just answer with a simple yes or no, but how to ask good questions that would draw them out. And I remember she shared an acrostic called DUA, D-U-A, and that was the way to ask good questions. D stands for discover, U stands for understand, and A stands for apply. And the way she said that we did that is whenever we were putting together a Bible study, we wanted to make sure that the questions we asked helped them to either discover things about the Bible, to understand what it really meant, or to apply it personally to their lives. You know, it's probably been at least 15 years since I heard that, and I have never forgot it. Being taught how to lead small group Bible studies has been extraordinarily important for Brian and I. We have taught a Bible study in our church for about 10 years on marriage. We've facilitated Bible studies on parenting. Brian has led small group Bible studies to men. I was sitting down just this past week and trying to name and remember all the Bible studies I've led in the 17 years we've been married. I couldn't do it. There has been so many women's groups, college groups, that I couldn't even name them all. I mean, how important was that seed invested in our lives? It has very much helped us to make a difference. Now, we've led Bible studies in our church. Brian's led Bible studies with business colleagues all over the place. But this is the place where we were trained how to do that. So very, very important seed in our life. A great verse, I just remembered, a great verse that I'm sure you all are familiar with, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And being taught how to lead those small group Bible studies has definitely equipped us to equip other people as well.
You know, the fourth seed that was planted in our life here, and I think is really a heartbeat of and passion of the ministry of the BHU, mm-hmm. and that's disciple making. And I know you guys have had lots of training, opportunities to hear different messages and such, and do different studies on making disciples. Well, it's because of the small group Bible studies that Vicki's talking about. In fact, Jerry Fine, a businessman in Oklahoma City, you may have heard him speak as well, and he talks about that those Sunday school classes are like a fishing pond where mm-hmm. you can go and you can find others to select the few and follow really the example of Christ and select the few to meet with them and invest your life in.
A few that seem really hungry, hungrier yeah. than the rest, that really want to get serious with God.
2 Timothy 2:2 says, "In the same things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Invest your life in people who are going to pass it on. Make disciples of people who are going to do something with it. Don't waste your time and your energy and your life on, you know, on those that aren't interested, but dig in with those who are. And I don't mean those that aren't interested aren't important. I just mean you really invest your life in making disciples with those who show a real interest. In fact, there's an acrostic of looking for fat disciples, which is faithful, available, and teachable people. And you guys have probably heard that. But discipleship training that came out of, that was planted in our lives, were things like one-on-one with God. We just finished a group this winter of men in the discipleship series called One-on-One with God, basically written by Jerry and Marilyn Fine in Oklahoma City. Great material to walk people through some of the basics of the foundational elements of growing in Christ. Another one is Navigators 2-7 series. And I'm just starting a group here in a couple of weeks, a new group of men, and these are business colleagues and associates of mine that we're starting a new group of 2-7, a discipleship training group. And it was here that seed was planted.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody told me how important discipleship was and how important investing my life in the lives of others could bear fruit for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Very, very important. Fifth seed that we want to share with you tonight that we feel like God planted in our lives while we were here at this place is that He gave us some very pass-onable tools. And you probably realize, as Brian and I have shared tonight, we've already shared with you three acrostics. There's something about putting something in a picture, giving a picture to it that helps you to remember it. And if you remember it, then you can pass it on. And we did learn some really great, very pass-onable tools. The one that stands out in my mind, though, the very most, the one that I have shared more times than I could ever begin to count, is the hand illustration. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with that, the hand illustration from the Navigators about how to get a real grasp on God's Word. And if you're not familiar with that, every finger is attributed one way that you can get a grasp on God's Word. We hear God's Word, we read God's Word, we study God's Word, we memorize God's Word, and then the thumb, most important of all, we meditate on God's Word, which means to think about it and to apply it to our own lives. And you'll see that if all you ever do is hear God's Word, if that's the only way God's Word gets in your life, you don't have a very good grasp on it, do you? You can't get a good handle. But if you hear it and meditate on it, if you hear it and think it applies, you get a little better grasp. I mean, it can still be snatched away, but it's a little bit harder. And each different layer that you add to that helps you to get a grasp on God's Word. Well, that was a very pass-onable tool that Brian and I learned while we were here at the VSU. Many, many great, great tools. There was a prayer cycle that I was taught. I don't remember which pamphlet it was in. It was either Manna in the Morning or Tyranny of the Urgent, or maybe 7 Minutes with God. But the guy sets up a prayer cycle for every day of the week. And because of that, that's how I started doing a prayer cycle. Monday is my ministry day. That means I specifically pray for things that I'm involved in ministry-wise. Tuesday is 2+2. That's Brian and I and our two kids. I spend extended time praying for the two of us. Wednesday, workers and world leaders. But all of those pass-onable tools were things that we learned right here. And how has that impacted our life now? Well, it gives us something to be able to share. We don't have to dream up all this stuff ourselves. If we can remember it, we figure surely somebody else can remember it as well. And it makes it easier for us to make an impact on other lives today.
Okay, if you have your Bible, I want you to flip over to Matthew. We just talked about five seeds, and these are just things that were planted in our lives. And you know, those things we just mentioned, those aren't really the essence of what it is that we want to talk about, although we won't be much longer. But they raise a point. They raise a point that seeds were planted in our life while we were here. We heard this. You guys are hearing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are hearing, you know, every week after week, you're getting to have seeds planted in your life.
But we know from Scripture that not all seed bears fruit, doesn't it?
It doesn't.
Not all seeds bear fruit. And that's what this passage is about.
Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. In verse 3 through 9, he says, "And then he told many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Another seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Mm-hmm.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then in verse 18, it says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, and it produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown." You know, one of the other things that really came to our remembrance as we were thinking about what we wanted to share here was people that were in our lives when we were here at the BSU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could each name a handful of friends that heard the same things, did the same things. But you know, since that time, they took those seeds and they held on to them, and nothing happened. And they have withered since then, spiritually. They're not interested in spiritual things anymore. In fact, they're far from God in terms of their fellowship with God. These things aren't important to them anymore. And can you come up here? What was your name again?
Jerry.
Okay. Jerry, will you hold up one of these apples over here? I don't want to touch them. No, not those. Those behind it. I didn't want to touch it myself, but you see, this is an apple. This is an apple that has, you know, Betty identified that other apple had 9 seeds in it. This apple probably has 9 seeds in it too, or close. But it's all withered up. It's dry. It's crusty. There's no life in it. It's dead. It's really good for nothing. In fact, I was out in my backyard with my flashlight last night about 11 o'clock looking for that apple. And here it is. Because we have an apple tree in our backyard. We have an apple tree in our backyard. And you can sit down. I may need you, though. Don't go far. I may
Stay
need
close,
you again.
Jer. We might need you.
But you know, we can name a bunch of other friends, a bunch of other students that we went to school with, The man, they're excited about the seeds that were planted in their life. The things that kind of, there's some of the things that we talked about. They nurtured those seeds. Mm-hmm. They looked for people to help invest those seeds in. And, you know, they are now a doctor, professional person who's been very involved in planting a new church. And the church is flourishing. God's blessing it. They are now, Vicki mentioned one is a professor doing missionary work in China. Another is, there's several that are missionaries around the world. Some of them are pastors planting churches and leading churches around the country. Some of them are business people. Some of them are homemakers, but they're investing their lives in others, and they're planting those seeds that were given to them while they were here at the BSU in the lives of others. And you know, Jerry picked up the dried up fruit, and this is what's being produced in the lives of those others that I talked about. Mm-hmm. Their lives are making a difference. Their life is producing fruit. And in every piece of fruit, there's seeds that are being produced and they're being invested in other people's lives. You know, in the scripture in Matthew we just read, where some seeds produce 100 times, some 60 and some 30, the multiplication. In fact, this principle was really clear to me because in my backyard I do have an apple tree. And on that apple tree, You guys have any idea how many apples the tree puts on? This tree is a result of one seed that was planted years ago in my backyard.
That Brian has cursed ever since.
You ever tried to mow under an apple tree? So, when it's time to do that, I have a deal with my son, my 8-year-old son, and he earns a penny for every apple that he picks up in the backyard. Yeah, you probably think I'm cheap, but a penny for every apple that he picks up in the backyard. Well, last fall, he went out and with his bucket and picked up apples. And he comes back in and says, "Dad, you owe me $6.33. I said, "What?" You know, I'm not a math major, but a penny apiece, that's 633 apples that fell off of that tree. And it's an illustration to me of what one seed can produce. And every year, after every year, after every year, that tree puts out 600 apples every year, every year, every year. And it continues to produce, continues to produce, and continues to produce. And, you know, if you think about that principle of multiplying those seeds that are invested in your life, and taking these things that you're learning while you're here at the BSU and investing them in the lives of others, mm-hmm. think about the power of the multiplication that has mm-hmm. and the people that can impact for eternity. In fact, Jerry, that's right. Come up here one more time, Jerry. I want you to take one of these seeds that Betty surgically removed from that apple. You got it? Okay. I want you to tell me, Jerry, how many apples are in that seed?
No.
Several. Several? Okay. Okay. You're a good learner. Okay,
Thank you, Jerry. You can
keep the seed if you want.
little momentum.
The point is, and the quote, one of my favorite quotes, the quote I want to leave you with, and that you may have heard before, is that anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God knows the number of apples in a seed. And if you really think of that, and you really think about what God can do with one seed that you invest in another person's life, the power is phenomenal to be able to impact the people around you, that can impact the people around them, that can impact the people around them, and make a difference for eternity.
The challenge that Brian and I would really want to give you tonight
is to gratefully accept the seeds that are being planted here at the BSU and to allow God to use them to help you know Him in a deeper and more intimate way and to take advantage of the opportunities that equip you and train you on how to make a difference in the lives of others once you leave this place. So gratefully accept this opportunity to learn and grow in your own walk with God, as well as gratefully accept the opportunity to receive the training to be able to impact other lives once you leave this place. And it is just the sincere prayer of our heart that when your life is over, that only God will be able to count the fruit that's being produced from your life. Want to pray for us?
Yeah, before I pray, you know, I just in even standing up here, I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that I had a chance to be here. I have told I don't know how many people that my 4 years that I spent at OU, education was the small benefit, but the time that was invested and the seeds that were planted in my life through the ministry of this ministry mm-hmm. have made a far bigger impact on my life.
That's why we really feel God brought us here.
Ever learned. Mm-hmm. And God has His hand on the BSU at OU mm-hmm. and on the people's lives that are involved here. And He's using people around the world that have come out of the seats that you guys are sitting in. And it's such an encouragement to us mm-hmm. and a challenge to see what God is doing in it. And it makes me thankful. It makes me thankful for you mm-hmm. and the years that you've invested in the investment you made in our lives mm-hmm. a long time ago and that you're still doing it. Mm-hmm. It makes me thankful. And Charlie Ann, is another one that has invested in our lives, and we're thankful for that because it's made a difference. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father God, we love You, and we thank You so much for the love that You have for us, mm-hmm. for the interest that You have in each and every one of our lives. We thank You so much, God, that You planted seeds in our heart, God, through our time here. And that everyone sitting in here has opportunity to take those seeds, Lord, and we all have opportunity to do something with them. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful and that we would be disciple makers and that we would be taking the things that we learn and investing them in the lives of others so that it could produce multiples of fruit for eternity, God. God, I pray that we would take it seriously. And that we wouldn't be the dry, crusty apple, Lord, that has no life in it. And that seeds are just dying in there, God. And it would be of no value, God. But that we would be the seed that plants the tree, that produces the fruit, that goes on and on and on and on, Lord. Thank You for the opportunity You give us to do that. Thank You for the opportunity You give us to take these seeds and invest them in others, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.